What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Big Thing. It's Thursday, and there's a lot to talk about. There's a ton to talk about. Now, we can talk about Scream. Scream's coming out this weekend, Scream 6. I've seen it. Roxy saw it. Brett Belled on the screening again. And we also, what else did we do? There's big news, and we talked about it on Sith Council yesterday, but we'll talk about it again here today. They have some big news about the movies, man. Kevin Feige, that movie, remember that? Not happening. Patty Jenkins, remember that one? Yeah, that's not happening either. The Taika one, well, apparently it is happening. Apparently he wants to star in it. Is that an issue? We're going to talk about that more. Roxy has her TV picks, so we'll get into that. Constantine 2, they said it was happening. They said it wasn't happening. It might not be happening. What the hell's going on with Constantine 2? And John Wick, I saw it. I can't talk about it in depth, but I can at least get into a little bit of an argument with Roxy because she decided she didn't want to go with me to the screen. Is that true? No. All right, so we'll talk about that and more. But, hey, man, we're excited. And I'll tell you why we're so excited. You know why we're excited? Because we hit it. Now, we didn't hit 70, but we hit
69, dude!
That's right. We're at 1,000 away from 70,000. You guys can make it happen. All you got to do is hit that button. Show a little clash. Just an ounce as we approach that road to 70,000. We're almost there. Get yourselves one of those shirts, man, whether it's Sith, Big Thing, you don't know, ish, any of it, and show a little class by getting a Show Some Class shirt. Patreon.com/TheBigThingShow. We're getting closer to getting on the road, man, doing some live shows. Hope you join us. So do that and more. Let's get into it. It's The Big Thing. It's me. It's Roxy. It's Brett. Let's do it. Welcome one and all to The Big Thing Show. It's me, Christian Harloff, Roxanne Stryer, Brett Sheridan.
Little Wizard Harry.
All three of us.
We're here. We did it.
We did it.
They said it couldn't happen.
You bailed on Scream.
It happened.
You had family stuff you had to do. I didn't blame him. I don't understand.
Sounds like you blamed him.
Now, but why'd you bail on John Wick?
Me?
No. Why didn't you invite me to John Wick?
Well, I did.
You didn't.
I tried to.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You called me. I called
but
you
is
back.
But is that trying to?
You didn't text. You didn't do anything. I called you back.
Wait. You said I didn't try to. Did I try to?
For a second.
Did I try to?
You gave a half-ass attempt.
Did I try to well? That's a different conversation. But did I try to?
Oh, I can already see the people. Right. He trying.
I tried.
He tried.
I tried. I did try. So and well, it was a last-minute thing. And I got an invite to it, and I went, and I meant the same thing I said in my immediate reaction. It's good. I enjoyed it. It's long. 2:40.
Oh, I'm wow. So jealous that you got to go not in fucking Burbank.
I know. Yeah, I know. That was one of the main reasons I decided to go that day.
I can't believe it was a perfect day for me to go.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
I am sorry.
And then I called you back, and you tried to claim, you're like, oh, maybe I didn't see it.
I didn't see it, though. I'm gonna check my phone log right now and see if that's true. I'm going to see if I have any missed calls from Roxanne Stryer.
All right, how many times have you caught me in a lie?
Let's see.
How many times have you caught me in a lie?
I'll see it.
17.
It would be Thursday, right?
Are you making a joke? I'll show you when I called you.
Let's see. I don't see it.
Let me show you when I called you.
Uh-oh.
I don't see it.
Oh, my God.
Check the phone logs.
I'm not seeing it. I do not have a missed call from Roxy Stryer.
Thursday of last week?
It was, when did I see it?
I don't know.
I called you on Thursday.
And I called you back.
When is that?
On Thursday.
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, well, I did.
It's bizarre, because I don't see it. Did you leave me a voicemail?
No.
No.
Did you leave me a voicemail?
No, but there's no missed call. Look, see, that's the call to you.
But you do see that I called you.
I do, but isn't that weird, though, that I don't have a missed call from you?
Yeah, that is weird.
Okay, so maybe...
That is weird, but I didn't lie.
Is that you sure you call my old phone?
Because, look, literally, I have a missed call from you. I have it under new, so that I don't mess that up.
Call me right now. And I want to see if it works. It's working right now.
Okay.
Now let me see if it logs in as a missed call. This is bizarre, Roxy. See, that one is a missed call.
I don't know what to say. Okay, I called you back.
So you feel a little bit, like, I didn't see it, though.
Maybe you deleted it.
I wouldn't have deleted your call.
You could have.
Brett, how are you?
I'm good. When you're in like that silent mode, does it not show up? Or it should show up, right?
I have missed calls, but by people going, hey, I just tried to call you. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
It's very rare. Usually I pick up when you call.
Yes.
I called you back immediately and you didn't pick up. And I was like, he must have figured it out. I thought it was maybe a TikTok thing or something.
No, it was. I have an extra seat.
I called you back.
You know who went with me?
You took somebody?
No one went with me.
Yeah.
That makes it worse, doesn't
it? It's way worse.
Yeah.
At first, I was sad who you took, and then I was sad you didn't.
I had
anyone.
If I would have known in the morning, you? Yeah, and I had to take Lydia's friend home, and
I asked you first.
Why didn't you text me?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Yeah,
why didn't you get my missed call?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The text is a worse answer to simply say I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I could have.
Yeah.
And I know that you wanted to see it. That's why I texted you first.
Know.
Anyway.
Oh, did you asked me before Brett?
Yeah, I did. You like that?
How did you not get one, Rox? You're like,
she did. She just got one for later on.
Yeah. You know what I'm having a really hard time with?
Pizza.
Yeah.
You were about to say what it actually is.
Gas?
No.
What?
You went, shh.
Shitting.
Oh.
What?
Shazam.
Shazam.
Oh, you didn't get one?
You got one?
I got one.
They said to me, man, we're not doing it.
They're not doing screenings?
That's what they said.
What?
I don't know what's happening. No comment.
Okay, can I come with you to that?
I don't have a plus one.
They're really keeping that one tight.
I don't know what happened.
I used to be like the DC girl, and they just...
Yeah. Mm. Maybe, I don't know. Well.
Well, that's our show, folks.
Don't tell me you're not doing it.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe that's not what they said.
Well, they said we're not doing it.
I don't know. You gotta show me. Show me the reply. I don't know if I buy that. Anyway.
I don't want to out them on the show, but...
They just did.
No, I didn't say who.
Oh, well, it's they.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, listen to me. What's going on before we move into the, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Like what?
We did see a screening last night.
Yeah. We were both there.
Yeah, we were. Brett
was. You weren't my plus one. I wasn't yours.
No, you didn't ask me.
You didn't ask me either.
True. All right, listen to me.
Yep.
What's going on with the dude? Anything?
I saw him this past weekend.
How'd it go?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it.
Fine,
nothing,
yeah.
Nothing to report?
No, it was really brief because,
Like what, he picked up his mail or something?
No, kind of.
Oh.
No, I was supposed to see him on Saturday, and then he got stuck at work until 2 in the morning.
That stinks.
It sucked. Mm. And I think he felt, like, really bad about it, and that's the kind of shit I don't care about. Like,
right, because he's beating you get work.
Yeah.
The one person's not going to get mad about work.
So he kept sending me screenshots of his work
at the time, showing you that he was at work?
Yeah, and so I was like, what is that about?
A little sus. No, I'm seriously at work. Here's a screenshot of me
at work. I'm not at a strip club. What I'm starting to realize about dating in your 30s is that everybody has extreme baggage.
Yeah.
So whoever he's been with before clearly has made him paranoid or whatever about lying.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sending me all these screenshots. So I'm trying to read like I can't tell what he's trying to send me. And then so finally we get on the phone and I'm like, what have you been sending me for the last few hours? He's like, I just want you to know I'm actually at work. So I keep sending you time codes with what I'm doing on my screen. I'm like, I know you're at work. Like it's okay.
Yeah, it might be a baggage thing for sure.
And you're right. It's okay. Yeah. And he was like, I feel like he was so upset about it. And I was like, I don't care. Like, genuinely, I don't
care.
It's
work.
Yeah,
if you're one person you don't have to talk to about work.
You're at work, but he clearly thought for some reason I cared.
Yeah, it could be an ex thing.
And also, it's again with the communication. I'm like, am I displaying anything to you? You're having to like close your lips. You're going, am I displaying anything to you that shows I'm upset right now? Like nothing.
Right.
Or that you don't trust him. That's the thing that's kind of like, you know, I could see where that would make you feel like, whoa, why are you overly explaining yourself?
Yeah, it just like, you know, so then the next day I was booked all day, but I didn't want to go. I already hadn't seen him for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, do you have any window tomorrow? And I was like, I have 1 hour window between these two things in which I need to get somewhere. Oh, so yeah, he
scheduling. That sucks.
And he came to pick me up to drive me to where I was going. Like,
oh,
and
that's,
so
that's
it was
nice,
nice
though.
We, like, we quickly got a taco and then we went.
Road
but like, I saw him. No, there's none of that.
Oh, man.
Maybe he was hoping. Maybe that.
It could have been on either
he was
side.
Over-explaining to try to get to the
roadhead. Yeah.
So I only saw him for an hour, and it's just like, it's not enough time.
No,
you know?
That's not enough.
It's not enough time, so I'm seeing him again this weekend.
Okay, but an actual date.
I hope so, but I right now am going into uh-oh territory. Not with him, with my schedule, because...
Oh, too much shit going on.
Yeah, next weekend I'm shooting something both days.
Okay. Good problem to have.
Great problem to have. And then the weekend after, my best friend from home is coming to stay with me. The weekend after, amazing. Brad Gilmore and Farrah are coming to stay with me.
Wow. Okay.
And then after that, I go into production for Crust.
Oh, is that during WrestleMania weekend and they're coming in that weekend?
Yes. So not to out them. I think that would be,
He's probably
but
talking about
they,
it.
Like, then I'm going into for Crust for That's a month.
Great.
And it is great, but
there's it's a lot of time. So you got to figure out how to see this dude. Yeah, in general.
Yeah, he has a really tricky schedule, and then my schedule has always been difficult. So I just am like, okay, I'm excited to see him, but I don't know. It's not like smooth sailing with the trying to. It's navigate. Also like the least sexy thing ever. I'm sure you guys can probably attest to when you're like, I can see you from 1 p.m.
I like you were nodding before you even know what she was talking about.
Just the schedule. Like, I could see you from 1 p.m. until 1:45 on a Tuesday. It's like, what?
No, I get it. I'm nodding because I'm thinking to when I was dating my wife and we were waiting tables and we'd blow off, we'd get our schedule, changed around so we could hang out.
And it's so sexy and fun when you start dating somebody and you're seeing them all the time.
Every
and
moment.
You can be like fucking all the time and you can be like flirting and getting to know each other. It's just like that's such a fun time in a relationship. And
it's not there right now.
And
to nobody's fault.
To nobody's fault. Right. I just like am not.
Shoot, man. All right, Well, this was. As I have told you guys many times over, where we've had chapters of Roxy's, this to me, you get like that really extreme kind of comedy moment at one point. You get the serious moment of what's going to happen. How are they going to, will these two kids last? That's where we are right now in the show with Roxy and Canada.
Totally, so, totally. The good news is that like neither of us have been dickhead. Like nothing.
That's good.
It's just.
It's scheduling. We'll see how it goes. Well, we're rooting for you.
Thank you.
But we're also, listen, I'll tell you this. I was rooting for Scream last night when I saw it.
And?
Because here's why.
Okay.
Loved the first one, like everyone else. There are so many people who just love this franchise over and over and over and over. There's some fine ones, like two, I think was okay. I can't remember. I haven't seen them in so long. And then I remember there were a couple other ones. I was like, it's very similar to, like, say, Fast and the Furious and these other movies. I'm like, at one point, just let it go. And similar to Fast and the Furious, they have an entry that you go, oh, well, they're trying something different now. They know what they're going for, and they're succeeding in it. Now, I didn't necessarily love the fifth one. I thought it was fine.
And I really liked the fifth one.
A lot of people did really like the fifth one. What I realized is a lot of the stuff that I, which is bizarre, a lot of the stuff that I didn't like about the fifth one, I really liked about this one. And I think it's because they, like I said, they have really jumped on a formula that they have. They stick with the formula, but inside of the formula, they still kind of throw you some curves where you go, wait, is that? Oh, okay. Because once you get to a certain point in the movie, when there's always a reveal, right? Once you get to a reveal, you gotta throw suspension of disbelief. It's gotta go away. You gotta have suspension of disbelief. You have to, because it's just so many things. You go, well, wait a minute. This. Who cares? You got to embrace this thing. And I love the fact the change up to New York. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was brutal. I like the way that they still played on the movie stuff from the past, but they still made it fresh. I thought that both Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega were fantastic in the movie. And I would say that it's my second favorite out of the franchise.
That's amazing. Yeah. Without any spoilers, what did you think about the opening?
Loved
I
the opening.
Loved the opening.
Loved the opening because the
that's my dream.
With the opening,
yeah.
It was really. I had said because we saw it. It was Ellis. I sat next to Ellis and Justine Marino, who's a big fan.
Yeah, you guys were in a different theater than me.
You had an opportunity to come in. I said, do you want to switch?
It was
theaters?
You had one extra seat. It was
no,
me
I had
and
three.
D. Oh, I thought you were saying three for the three of you guys.
I had three plus three.
You didn't say six.
You don't listen. And you didn't call me.
Wow.
I just want to pause on that for a second.
Go ahead.
Communication issues.
Literally in my entire life.
No one's ever said that to me.
No one's ever said that to me. I've been called many true things before.
Yeah.
Aggressive, a bitch, overbear, whatever.
No one's ever called you a non-listening bitch.
You don't listen. Right. Interesting.
No, you listen.
That's a new one.
It's true.
You don't listen.
No. Well, go ahead, Brad.
What was it? So you were all at the screening and you tried to sit to?
They had two screenings. When I got there, Roxy had texted me and she goes, which theater are you? I'm like, I'm not in any theater yet. I'm about to park.
Yeah.
But you know what you actually said? You said something that made perfect sense, but I read it wrong. And you had said, I thought it was seven. I thought you were saying Theater 7. So I was like, oh, Theater 7. So then I went to look at Theater 7. I was like, what is he talking about? And then
well, because you texted me so early that you were already in the theater, and it was like...
It was 6:30 I texted you. Usually you and right I show up a half 6:30. Hour before.
It was like 6:20 when you texted me. So I was like, I do normally sit right at 6:30 is usually when I'll get there.
Me too.
And so I got there, and I was like, oh, my God. Did this thing start at 6:30 or 6 o'clock? And then I missed it. She's like, no. It starts at 7. And then so we get there, Justin Marino and Ellis.
So she's a stand-up that you know.
Yeah.
I met her for the first time yesterday. She seemed really cool.
She's awesome.
She has the coolest nails.
She's going to come in. She's going to come into the show for sure. I just did her show.
Did she come up with you, Liz?
She came after me. She was out, as far as in the stand-up scene, yes, she was. I met her through Mark. Her and Mark and McCougie did a show called Three's Too Much on Toad Hop Network. And that's where I first met her. And then we had acted in a couple things together. And then I just did her podcast recently.
What is it?
Glitter and Garbage is the name of it. And she's, she's awesome. So she went, we hung out. Talked about the movie in general, and then at one point after that opening scene, I turned to her and I was like, that's an opening. That's a good opening. And so I'm already on board with the opening.
I can't wait till you talk about it, because Christian, that is my literal dream.
I want to learn more about what you're talking about. But what I'll tell you,
I loved the opening.
The opening was fantastic. It was really good, and it was a great setup. And what I liked,
and even like the second opening, like the opening, the next part.
Well, the non spoiler embargo is up now, so we can like. What I will say is that what I really dug about Ghostface this time around, I think the most brutal and the strongest Ghostface has been so far, like. Really, like, a lot of times Ghostface, you throw like a toaster at him and he's down for the count for a little bit. He was brutal in this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Real brutal. I mean, he's been brutal in the past, but there's something about just, I don't know, it just seemed a lot more like a very different version of Ghostface this time around.
Yeah, scary for sure.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
It was definitely graphic, brutal. I like the kind of twists and turns. There was some predictability. There's a lot of over-the-top stuff. But I think that's
one of the actors. I wonder if you know who
I know exactly. I was so over the top.
He was in a movie of a different decade, and it was hysterical.
It worked. I know exactly what you're talking
everything
about.
Everything he did, I was just like crying. I was laughing
it
so hard.
It was so funny, and I think it was on purpose.
Me too. I think so too, because I've seen him in other things. And he's fantastic.
I
think he made a choice to be like, I'm in the 90s and y'all can.
It was the director's choice. The director's choice decided to put this particular actor into a very 90s over the top feel. And it is like, because the particular actors are great.
Excellent. It was every line. I was cracking up.
It was hilarious, but it was nice to see a lot of, you know, people like the way that they play off the legacy, and in general, it was good. I enjoyed it, and it was the first time ever after seeing a Scream movie where I said, I want to see another one.
That's great.
Yeah.
There's one guy that I want to give a special shout out to. His name is
Louis Gossett Jr.
Josh Segarra.
Okay.
And he plays cute guy.
Oh yeah. He was She-Hulk also.
He has been in The Other Two, which is the show that I loved on HBO that I think I've told you guys about. If not, I'll save it for a TV picks. Yeah. That's awesome. He was in Arrow. He has been in so many things. And he is an unbelievable dramatic and comedic actor. I'm so excited because I think he's going to be an A-list celebrity. And this is the start of his like more visible journey. In this was not his most shining role, but he's... I just think he's doing his.
He's got a thing.
He's not on social media, he's not like.
I like him better because of that.
I got to talk to this guy because I think he is a fucking star.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that either way. Oh, speaking of which, we can kind of transition to that stars that are kind of popping. I think I've seen two from the Yellowstone franchise that I think are going to be major stars. And so 1883, I've told you, Isabel May. Did you know she was cast in the Wonder Twins? I didn't know that before they canceled. Apparently, she was one of the Wonder Twins.
Well,
probably a good move that was canceled because apparently it was not good.
Really?
That's why it canceled. But I want her. That also, I think, opens up the possibility that she's in that family, that she might get cast in one of those DCU movies.
Okay.
But the dude who plays Spencer in 1923, that dude's a star.
Excellent.
He's a star.
Did you finish it?
I didn't. You were right. It was a season
finale. I guess
finale was. good, but a lackluster finale.
So I put it on my list to talk about today so that we'll can kind of break it down because I couldn't believe that that's how they ended
Bizarre.
The season. Yeah.
Bizarre.
It felt like...
My wife was pissed.
It felt like they didn't mean to end the season there.
It was a good episode. But it was like, that's it. We got to wait another year and a half before this thing comes back now.
It was the last week of February, and I just kept kind of waiting for another episode. And
yeah.
Because
it was only, what, a total of eight?
Eight. How many was there of 1883?
At least nine. At least. It had to be even more than that. I think there was 10 of 1883. I'll tell you
Then 1923 has a second season. 1883, is that going to happen?
No, I don't think so. 1883...
Episode guide.
List or whatever guide.
Wow, yeah, I said guide and you just didn't want
to. Ten episodes.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting. So, interesting, Christian. Interesting.
I don't know, but I dig in the show.
I can't believe you haven't dove into Yellowstone.
I watched the first three or four.
Episodes?
Yeah, but not like first, before I watched any of the other stuff.
It's going to be your least favorite of them, probably. But you're still going to like it.
I think so. I'm going to go back.
And it probably will be Sadie's favorite.
I don't know. She started watching the first three or four with me. We bailed on it. We were going to start watching it again the other day. And I said, why don't we, now that we're kind of caught up in the lore, let's watch it. And she's like, I don't want to start those things again. We watched like four episodes. And I was like, yeah, but the problem is we watched it over like a year and a half, 2 years ago. We might not remember any of the shit that we saw.
The best character on television.
Is Costner?
No.
His daughter. Right.
Kelly Riley.
Yeah, she was good. I remember her.
She's the best character on TV.
So,
every single season.
Excited to hear it. You got to look, that whole drama with Costner, I wonder if that's done now.
Contractually, you mean?
So there was a lot of drama that went down. Apparently, one of the things that happened.
You're not talking about like him as a human. You're talking about
both.
Him.
Oh, I mean, no.
I've only heard about the contracts and the money.
Yes, yeah, it was kind of, but his, that's more so what I mean. But his assistant or something or someone he worked with publicly blasted Taylor Sheridan on Instagram.
Weird.
Like after Tulsa King came up, but tell him to stay in his lane, all this stuff, and then apparently Kevin Costner was being difficult as far as showing up and doing all these things, and I don't know if it's subsided, but that was why they were going to do that spinoff then with Matthew McConaughey, because they were like, we're just going to end this season with, you know, Costner and call it a day. I don't know.
I feel so conflicted because as somebody who has worked with absolute pricks before, as all three of us have,
we're right here, Roxy.
It is interesting to see this new era of like Jenna Ortega ripping apart Netflix for certain things.
What did she say?
I know there was the stuff about the COVID that she talked about filming that scene with the COVID.
No, oh, I don't know any of this.
For Wednesday, the dance scene, mm-hmm. She came out and was like, I filmed with COVID.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know
and,
that.
And like outed them on their pot, whatever.
Well, obviously, I needed to get it done. They didn't care.
She said, like, at first it was like they had tested me, and then they knew I was sick, so they sent me to do it. And then when a test came back positive, we just kept, whatever. She outed the hell out of herself, and then it was bizarre. But then she said a couple of things about them, like what you're talking about with Costner, even talking about things like everything that we've seen with Ray Fisher, who I love. But, like, it is a new era of people talking about their
on social media it's
and
silly.
In interviews and whatnot about their bosses. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the only, partially, I think it's one of the ways to keep people accountable. And if people are doing like racist fuck shit, then obviously
that's
you
different.
Have to keep them accountable.
That's different.
Yes. I don't know how this kind of ends because I've worked with people that are like just fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
And this might not be the right mindset, but I came up in a time where they were fucking awful and you dealt with it internally or you didn't deal with it at all.
I think
all.
That is the right mindset, to be honest
with
you.
I don't know.
It depends on the situation in general, but I do think it's a generational thing. I think that there's a lot of times the problem is now is because, like I said, with when it comes to Twitter, it becomes of like, well, everyone has a voice and it's time for me to scream out and say this. And the problem is that everybody has a voice. And the thing is, too, that there are people who see and feel it's the only way to express themselves, and they're not, and they can't do it in the room, and they're nervous to do it in the room, and they're nervous to confront or to have that confrontation. So instead of doing that, they take to their phone and they tweet it out. And I'm not saying sometimes maybe that is an option to go, and maybe you have to do that, but there are a lot of times when people just do it without having conversations because it's another way to say, oh, I feel like people are supporting me, and that way I can do this, and now I have that support, and I don't have to deal with it direct. And I think that there's a lot of times that you can do that where you're not wrong. It's like, it's if there's a business that you have with somebody, you say, let's try to get that done first. And I'm not saying that if you have, like, let's say sometimes you go 15 conversations and you know you're in the right, and then it's the only way and it's your only option, then it's your only option.
But do you ever feel like part of the problem, like, I know for a fact that I have been publicly asked about people that I have not told the truth about. Mm. Like, that people will say, like, oh, I saw you worked with this person on this thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, what do you think? I'm like, fucking great, you know? And in my head, I'm thinking, piece of shit. Like,
right.
But you don't say it out loud.
Sure.
Like, what? I don't know. It's just an interesting
the same thing
dynamic,
like,
now. That
I would have loved to see social media in, like, the 30s and 40s. I know.
Totally. Like, Judy Garland on fucking social media. Right. And they're like, how's it going on set? And she's like, miserable. They're trying to ruin my life.
Yeah, they're making me smoke so I don't eat. I'm taking, you know, weight loss pills.
Totally.
They put stuff in her nose, like these little plugs.
But the question is, would the audience back then have cared?
Yeah, I don't know. Right,
most of them, you know, it's like, what's she complaining about? She's making more than I am right now.
I'm in a fucking ditch right now.
That's the other problem. Like,
I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying in general that's probably what would have been said.
You do see the people who do come forward, and it's not received very well.
Yeah.
Like, the general public, no matter what it is, even when people are saying really legitimate concerns, I don't know, people just tend to not like people who out other people about shit. Like,
yeah, it just depends. And I think that's where you get to a place where, and I think that this, as much as it's everyone seems to be complaining it now in stand-up comedy, it's like, I understood where Chris Rock was coming from, where it's not that there aren't issues there, but the problem is when everybody just takes to Twitter and it just takes to complain about stuff, and just like, It becomes less effective, because we used to see it all the time with people that we work with, all the time. And it's just like, it would be, hey, I need to get my thoughts out now, and I'm going to go after the person that I work with. And it's like, why are you doing that when you work with this person? And it's like, but this is not like, well, I don't want to work with them anymore. You have to see that person next week. And yet you're fighting with that person.
You're making your own life more challenging.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to do this. And I've had conversations with people where they've tweeted first about things. And I'm like, then I call the person. I'm like, we could have talked about this first. What are you doing? Well, I didn't know. You're right. I shouldn't have done that. Like, just talk. And that's what happens a lot of times. Same thing, but the same guy, this Costner friend. Or what, like, are you doing?
Penn Badgley has been talking about, like, Netflix as well with the serial killer movies and shows that they're doing. Yeah. And he's doing You. And he's like, saying, you know, Dahmer, that's on you guys. And I'm like, well, they're your parent company. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an opinion on this. It's just interesting that during this time period, everybody is vocalizing their opinion. If I'm Netflix and I'm seeing him do that, I'm not stoked.
Well, couldn't the same be said about Chris Rock when he's talking about Meghan Markle? Because they have a whole series with Netflix.
It could be.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about Chris Rock and TV picks too, but... Cool. It was interesting yesterday on SEN. The only two people who had seen the Chris Rock special were me and Winston.
Yeah.
And we had drastically different takes on it. His being much more relevant and valid because he has takes from being a black man that I can't possibly understand, or I do understand, but it wouldn't have occurred to me.
Right.
But it's very interesting that just the way he interpreted a lot of the special was bad for the culture. And I didn't see it that way at all. So it also depends on what perspective you're coming from when you hear other people airing their grievances or whatever you want to call what Chris Rock did.
I'll have to see it because I know everybody wants my opinion.
Yeah, true.
It would make sense. Yeah. I was kind of upset that you weren't the first person I saw.
I need to weigh in on this.
Yeah, part of me did think about calling my YouTube show, or the episode, A White Girl's Opinion on Chris Rock Special.
You should.
Just getting it out there.
Absolutely.
I can't believe you don't put your numbers in. It's so
crazy. It's not that I do put my numbers in.
Not showing up.
I absolutely do. Like, all my numbers were in there for some stupid reason. It just stopped doing it. I don't know why.
Fix it in 2 minutes.
That would be great if you did.
Forget about it. Yeah.
Forget about.
I've got specials I want you to see. Maybe I'll tell you, or I could tell you right now. But the Neil Brennan is one I want you to see, and Three Mics is one from 2017. Great.
Oh, that was
in
with
dealing
the three
with
different. Yeah.
Depression
yeah.
and mm-hmm. yeah, okay. And then he did another one. It was recently. I can't remember the name of, but he used to wrote for Chappelle.
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah. I like.
Oh
him.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
Yeah.
So we had some good stuff, good talk thus far, and we're not even half an hour into it. So it's going to be going to need a lot of energy to keep up. Well, if you're taking Athletic Greens, you'd be just fine. So let me tell you a little bit about AG1. I love Athletic Greens so much. I love them. AG1 by Athletic Greens, man. They're so good. And this is the other one. My wife this morning takes all these vitamins, and I go, how do you do that? I can't take a whole bunch of vitamins. I like doing it all in one shot. That's what I do with Athletic Greens. I love it. I take it all the time. Every day. You guys know that. I mean, how long have I been talking about Athletic Greens now? Athletic Greens, it's better gut health. It's increased energy. It's, you know, for me, it's the sleep quality. That's what I've been doing. The sleep quality is the best. You can do it right. You can, whether you're working out or before you're making your coffee, whatever you're doing, you feel ready to go. And it's like, it's the health kick. It really is. Between my diet that I have, which I'll tell you about later, and then and Athletic Greens. I've been doing good. I've been having good energy. People have been noticing that. I like that. It helped me with my energy. And why do you want to take a whole bunch of different things? You just take this and that's it. You put it in. I take it in a bottle of water and I shake it up and I love it. And AG1 was designed with ease in mind, so you can live healthier and better with having to do a lot. People love it. Katie Sackhoff is, like I said, she's coming in on Monday, and I talked about Athletic Greens on the show, and she loves Athletic Greens. And I'll talk, and she, I'm going to leave that in the show when she says it, of course. It's delivered to me every month, very easy to make it a daily habit. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens, it gives you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. But you have to go to athleticgreens.com/big thing. athleticgreens.com/big thing. All right, thank you again to our friends over at Athletic Greens. AG1, been taking it a lot, man, a lot of energy. And if you watched that Katie Sackhoff interview, by the way, she talks about how much she loved Athletic Greens and AG1. So, and if you want to try to win that signed Bo-Katan helmet, then you got to watch that interview and you can do it. Now, everybody after this episode is going to want a signed Bo-Katan helmet. Did you get a chance to watch the episode?
Of episode
Mandalorian?
Two.
Yeah.
Last time.
Oh, you watched it last time. That's right. You watched it the screener. But
did we get three?
No, we just got two. So two aired last night.
No, I'm saying, are they going to be sending us early every
week? I don't know. That's a good question. I think because like last night I was looking to see if, you know, again, if it was still like late last night, they'd kind of pulled it.
Mm.
So I wonder if they're going to send it early or do they usually, it's what's so bizarre. What they normally do is send it like when it drops on Disney Plus, and I'm like,
yeah. I get that too. But you know, it's different for everybody. Like, sometimes you get different things in different times than I do. And sometimes the same thing with the people I know, they'll be like, oh, did you get the drop? And I'm like, no. Or like, I'll get the drop and text them. No.
No, that's interesting. I don't know. But either way, the episode dropped and people are as excited as we are because it was, you saw it too.
I was like, why didn't I watch it? Oh, I saw it.
You the Katie of it all.
Ugh.
It was great. And I love the idea that we, you know, she's on the show. You can see it. You can see that that interview that we did. And then she's coming back for a full spoiler discussion.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of surprised to see she's so heavily featured.
Yeah.
And she wasn't as featured in some of the promo stuff, so I didn't know what they were doing with her character this season. So I was stoked when we saw episode two, because to me, she, not just because I like her, she's just like so fucking talented. So I loved seeing their dynamic, and I was like, I wonder if they're trying to keep that as a surprise or what they were doing
there. I know that we did Collider Live with her before. Did you? Was that the first time you met her?
Yeah, okay. And then the Halloween Horror Nights.
Right, that's right. So we went.
But that's it. I don't know her well.
So,
she just seems cool, and you guys say good things.
She's the best. And what's crazy is I've known her now coming up on 17 years,
yikes,
which is nuts.
From what?
When did I meet her?
No, from what? Like, what? How did you guys meet?
So we met at I forget. We met at Silver Pictures.
Oh, yeah.
We met at Silver Pictures, and
what did you? Why did you just laugh? At
I didn't know. I didn't know what
you didn't know what from what meant.
I didn't know.
Because I always forget. Like I remember when Tom was here. I was like, how did you guys?
Yeah.
I only know you guys CPK. I know you and your wife CPK. Mm-hmm. I don't know you and your wife. At some point, I did. Well,
you know me and you know my wife.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you guys meet?
Through stand up. My friend.
Oh, because something she was doing makeup for somebody.
No.
She came to the show.
My friend okay. Tom was seeing her. No. Was seeing her best friend, and they took her to a show one night, and I met her. But that's not. It's a very very long story inside of it. That's the first time I actually ever met her. Mm. But yeah. So, okay. I'm jumping back into Mandalorian and to see. Just to see what the fact that you have Katie and the fact that she voiced the character in the Clone Wars and to see what she's doing with the character now and the idea. They did show in the first trailer of her saying, you didn't think your dad was the only Mandalorian, did you? Like, that sets up so much, and it sets up so much in this episode. And I think that it allows, like, Pedro Pascal is great. He's amazing. And he's killing it in Last of Us. But it's very widely known. His voice is really what's prominent. You have Brendan Wayne and Lateef, who are the other two Mandalorians. Katie's on set all the time, recognizable science fiction kind of badass. She, as I told her on the show, she's got street cred.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they're using her more.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, and also if you do know the answer to this, I don't know if you could share the answer to this. But so she was Bo-Katan in the
Clone Wars and Rebels.
Clone Wars and Rebels. Do you know then... Is she their first call to audition for Mandalorian, or does she not audition as a straight offer?
So she told the story. She's told it before, and then she told it again during her interview. Essentially what happened was she walked up to Dave Filoni, and she was half kidding, half serious, was like, so, Bo-Katan, it fits the right way. You know, she's age-wise, it fits up. Like, what's she doing? It's the Mandalorian, you know? And she just was kind of goofing with him. And then she said, like, she got a phone call, like, 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later that, you know, they wanted her to come in and do the role. She didn't have to audition.
She didn't audition. So no, they didn't read anybody else.
No, because it's like, for her, it's the difference is that she had the benefit of doing... This is what I really... And we can kind of transition into The Last of Us after this, is that what I really like about what they're doing with The Last of Us is there's a lot of the video game characters that don't necessarily fit the look of what the character would be in live action, but they're still giving them roles and bringing them back, right? A lot of times that doesn't happen. And the idea that Katie was able to do both, that she voiced this character and then she was able to come back because she was kind of known in the science fiction, not only with science fiction, but with Longmire and these other things that she's done. If you can get her back, you should have got her back, and I'm glad they do. And I still stand by it. I still think that she would have been. I mean, nothing against Brie Larson. I think Katie would have been a much better Captain Marvel.
Huh, interesting. I could see that. I like Brie Larson a lot, but they have similar types, kind of.
Yeah. So, but speaking of Last of Us,
boom.
Are you not going to let me save anything for TV time?
Oh, you're going to talk about that as well?
Didn't I?
Yeah, you can. We can transition and talk about it then. Let's wait. That's fine.
Let's wait. It's the only thing I had any opinion about.
Well, we can wait, and we can actually stay in the Star Wars world because I want to talk to you guys about this story that dropped, and it was pretty big. This is a report that came out yesterday or 2 days ago from the Hollywood Reporter, and it indicates that Lucasfilm is shaking up its Star Wars film development slate with both Kevin Feige and Patty Jenkins projects shelved. In addition, filmmaker Taika Waititi may be starring in his own Star Wars film. Lucasfilm announced that Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron in 2020, but then 2 years later pulled the title from its planned 2023 release date as the project was a long way from production. Now, Variety reports, and according to its source, the film is no longer in active development, and the studio is essentially in it, and the project is dead. Said sources said the same thing for the project to be produced by Kevin Feige. Feige was the first one linked to a Star Wars film back in 2019, which led to the talks that he could be replacing Kathleen Kennedy at Lucasfilm. That didn't happen, but the project was moving along with screenwriter Michael Waldron.
So what project are they saying was dead?
They're saying both the Kevin Feige and the Patty Jenkins movies are dead.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige's Marvel commitments are set to keep him busy for a lot of years, and Waldron has moved on to write for Avengers Secret Wars. Rian Johnson's commitment to Knives Out 3 will also keep him busy, so that's probably not going to happen either. The trade sources indicate that Thor Love and Thunder filmmaker Taika Waititi continues to work on his possible Star Wars film and will most likely have a major role in it, not as the lead, but as a key supporting player. The studio is also reportedly remaining committed to a Star Wars movie from two-time Oscar-winning documentarian Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy, which has Damon Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson attached to write the script. The studio will reportedly begin to unveil its plans at Star Wars Celebration, April 7th. Okay, so we did talk about this kind of depth for at Sith Council, but I want to get your common folks' opinion.
Yeah.
This is a thing that happens.
Don't say yeah when somebody says common folks, just for your own
sake. I am a common folk.
Okay, then do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are.
The common folks, he said, yeah.
Yep, that's yeah. Me. No, I was. It's like, take a drink, you're on, buddy. You know, up, oh, I'm up.
Do you know how badly I want to make you a shirt that just says common folk?
Common folk.
Yeah, I'll wear it.
I know
I'll
you
wear it with pride.
Common folk is like the 2023 version of schmo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Common folk.
It's the common folk show. Yeah. You're still trying to figure out what the hell. How great was that banner, by the way?
It was Kate. Good. I feel bad for Kate, but it
she
is
loved
good.
It. She thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. I still feel bad for her.
Yeah. But started with, I hate you. This is hilarious.
It is hysterical.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
I told her I'm the only reason she's on there.
It's true.
And Ash.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Ash is the main reason. Yeah.
Okay. I take less credit than him, but more credit than anybody else.
And so people are, what the hell are they talking about? We started the live streaming in flux over on the Christian Relevant Friends channel. We do it.
There's an amazing comment on there that yesterday I just responded to.
What was it?
First of all, a lot of people watched the show, which I was stoked about, and they liked it a lot, and it was great feedback. But one person commented and was like, I completely disagree with Roxy's take on that parents should make their kids play certain sports to do whatever. Yeah. You don't know what, and it was like this novel, and I was like, it was a joke.
Yeah, I haven't checked the comments on there. I haven't looked. Don't worry about it. You made some good jokes. It was great. In the middle conversation with Tom.
It didn't bother me.
We're talking to Danny, who's on the show, and in the middle of it, out of nowhere, Roxy just stops the conversation. She goes, have you ever seen a psychiatrist? Hilarious.
And then, do you think he answered the question straightforward or no?
Yeah, let me say, hey, Tom, did you ever see a psychiatrist before?
I'm going to lean in and get quieter as I lean into my... Yeah, it's a gray area.
It's a gray area.
I think that's literally what he said.
You know, I mean...
Finally, Christian goes, like did you ever pay to see a therapist? He said, no.
Yeah, no. I mean, not pay. Not pay. I knew a guy.
Yeah.
I knew a guy who knew a guy.
I talked to a lot of people.
All right, let's back to Star Wars. Then.
Yeah.
The problem is this, and the same thing that I said was Sith. It's just a continuous issue. Now, maybe they're nipping in the bud, but you can, and there's no way I'm even going to get to all of them, I'm sure. But let's start with Force Awakens, the thing that is probably not talked about, and you never even know if it's true or not. Apparently, there was initial clash with JJ and Kathleen Kennedy, but that worked itself out. Made a lot of money, so whatever. And who even knows if that's true? So that's part one. And then they get into Rogue One. Rogue One was successful. Lots of problems on set. You had Gareth Edwards, who there's no world where he directed that movie. Tony Gilroy clearly directed it. And now Freddie Prinze Jr. says that Filoni's the one who directed the Vader scene. Right? So that whole thing was just all over the map, but they held it together and they made a lot of money.
Why would Freddie Prinze Jr. know that?
Because he was tight with Filoni.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember movies sometimes. He's not in it, right?
Freddie?
Yeah.
No, Freddie's was it Rebels. Oh. Yeah, he's a prominent figure in Rebels. He played Kanan. So he worked with Dave all the time.
Gotcha.
So anyway, that was a big issue in general, was the Rogue One. And then you get to Josh Trank was supposed to do Boba Fett. Gone, right?
That's the guy that did Fantastic Four?
Yep, gone. Colin Trevorrow, gone. Lord Miller, mm-hmm. gone. Announced, gone.
Kevin Sorbo.
He's gone.
Gone.
Benioff and Weiss, Game of Thrones. Gone.
F.
Murray Abraham. But there's all these different things like that they keep getting, and I'm sure I'm missing some, but you get it now. Now, Patty Jenkins, Kevin Feige. It's like stop announcing them unless they're about to go into production, right? And I'll be honest, I didn't think that the Taika Waititi one was even going to happen. I think that you can automatically, right away, go, whoa, I just saw Thor, Love, and Thunder, and now they're going to do a movie with Taika, and he's going to be the lead. And you have the right instinct to go, that could be a disaster. Because if it's a pure...
Not the lead.
Right. But one a starring role.
Yeah.
That could be a disaster. However, if you look at episode one of The Mandalorian, he was also a pretty big character in that season one as IG-11. He was a big character. And so much so that they're apparently bringing him back again into season three. And he was great in it. And he directed a great episode in Mandalorian. My biggest concern is the writing of it all. Is that,
do you think it's weird to have somebody be two characters in the same universe, or no, because it's a droid?
Yeah, droid. I have no problem with that.
I think that it just shows... Taika Waititi is obviously a massive Star Wars fan. If you're a massive Star Wars fan and you are directing a Star Wars movie and you're also an actor, I would put my fucking self in the movie too.
Yeah.
I know, but I just think he's... Too, he's got. I think he has two... He's spinning too many plates. I think he's... I think
I felt the same way about Thor. So I'm with you there, but I really like him.
I do too.
I tend to like his non-franchise stuff better than his, you know, like my favorite thing of his is obviously Jojo Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in him though, and I think that he's a really good actor.
Yeah, my hope is this. I think Star Wars doesn't need, because Taika has leaned into comedy no matter what he's done. He's leaned into comedy. Which even the first Mandalorian episode with the conversation with the stormtroopers and everything too, which is funny, but then he ended it wonderfully. I mean, so, but it's when he's co-writing, I think it's going to be a little stronger, but he's writing the whole thing. I think it's going to lean heavily on comedy, and I don't think Star Wars needs that right now.
What Star Wars movies are happening?
There have not
There's
been.
There's not any, one confirmed.
So this is what, after this report, if not that this is what I want to happen, but this is my guess. My guess is that they're going to announce two movies at Star Wars Celebration on that Friday panel.
In April?
In London, yeah, in April. I think they're going to
announce... Are you going to be there?
No. I think they're going to announce... movie one will be this Lindelof movie that they mentioned. I think that's the first one they go with, and I think it's probably close to shooting, and I think they start shooting it soon.
That's exciting because of Lost and Watchmen.
Leftovers.
Leftovers, my favorite.
Yeah, and from the rumors is that Filoni has been in the room, and that they're collaborating with a lot of the Star Wars heads, and that they're putting together a plan.
And that's a one-off movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, so you don't know. There's don't no know. Title. There's no... Okay.
Nobody
you
knows. Know who's rumors doing and that type of thing.
Your head, what's the movie, what's the era of the movie?
It takes place after episode 9.
Okay.
And Rey might show up. I don't think it's going to lead Rey, but I think Rey will show up. And I think don't be surprised if some of the other, you know, Finn or those people show up, but I don't think they're the leads. I think that they're part
of
the universe.
You think it's prepping for 10, 11, 12?
No. Okay. I just think they're kind of standalone movies that could, they're starting to build out the after, which could be great, depending on how it plays. And apparently Taika Waititi's movie is in that same era, and if that's the case, I think Taika's movie is, even though I don't think it should be, I think it's also announced about what it comes, and I think you get Damon Lindelof's movie in either 2025 or 2026, but most depending if they start shooting it this year, which they're probably going to start shooting soon, you could probably get that done in 2 years, so maybe the end of 2025. And then Taika's will be 2026.
And they're the same era, you think?
I think so, yeah.
That's weird, right?
Not necessarily. If they actually have a plan, then maybe it plays out well. So I think that if you're gonna, what I would cross my fingers is that they don't do the Taika movie, they scrap it, and they do Lindelof's movie and then the Sean Levy movie that's been rumored.
What's that?
Who knows? They just said that Sean Levy was working on a project.
Wow.
And that if Sean Levy's working on a project, then it would be Sean Levy, his movie after Lindelof. That's what I would hope for, but I don't think that's what's going
to
happen.
And you're hoping for a trilogy or hoping for standalone?
I'm hoping for a good movie to lead us into the first one, because they haven't had a great... I mean, Rogue One to me is getting better and better every time I watch it, so I think that's the best Star Wars movie that they've made since, you know, Jedi, and then I would say Rogue One, and then the prequels to me are better than anything that has been done in the new era. But
you like the prequels all better than the sequels?
Yeah, because even Force Awakens,
you
which
like
are,
1, 2, 3 better than you like
no,
7, 8, 9.
As far as an enjoyment, and as far as what it does for the overall saga, yeah, because I think for the overall saga,
I now, didn't know that about you.
I think that for a while it was a little different, because then I started watching them differently. Because here's the difference. Do I think that episode 7 is a better main movie than episode 2? Yes. But the difference is this.
I said, do you like better?
Yeah, I do like it better because when I watch episode 2, it leads into a lot of great episodes of Clone Wars. Mm. And it leads into a lot of the lore and it plays into the story really well because now I know what's coming after that movie and it ties it all together nice. Episode 7 is a fun watch, but what does it lead to? It leads to a movie that's I don't wild. Like at all. Yeah. Because my last favorite movie, I mean, in my list, I still rank Force Awakens over Attack of the Clones. I still rank it over because it's a better movie. But I think that Last Jedi, people are like, how do you put that last? Because you're a hater. No, because I like it the least, and I think it is the worst Star Wars movie. Mm. Like, for sure. But anyway.
That's 9? Is it? No.
8.
Yeah. I still have not seen 9. I don't.
I think you'd like 9.
I'd probably like it. I'm not as critical on these things because I mean it's just see some
it's a cotton candy movie that is ridiculous.
But that on that note, I think anybody that's coming into this next movie is shitting themselves, like, because that was such a, they've got to dig themselves out of that hole of the of not 9
to
right
have a plan. It's not digging the hole, is not that they have all, it's digging themselves out of a hole, but the fix is easy and difficult at the same time. Yeah. And all it is make a good movie.
Yeah.
Make a good story. Like, if you launch, because that's why, if you launch with some kind of divisive, silly comedy, and I'm not saying that's what Taika's movie is, but it has the fear that it could be. You don't want a divisive movie for your first one. You want one that you know, everybody can kind of get on board the same way they did for the first season of Mandalorian. Anyway, this is kind of a rehash of the conversation I'm sure we had on.
Can I ask you one more question? Yeah. I know I keep harping on this, but this is what I care about as a common folk. Will there ever be a 10, 11, 12?
Right now, there's no plans for it. Do I think there'll ever be? Ever? Yeah, of course.
Would it be like a -0, -1, -2? Like,
nah, they'll do 10, 11, 12. Okay. Now, whether or not that happens when, you know, we're in our 50s and 60s, and who knows?
But our lifetime.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
I know the people at home are probably like, why do you care so much about that? I don't know why. I just like the trilogies.
Yeah, I mean, there's still possibilities. I think they still should go back in time and do a trilogy. You know, like
that's what I meant. 0, -1.
Yeah. Like, do like an Old Republic stuff.
What would you call it, though?
You just call it the Old Republic.
Number-wise.
You don't have to number it. You
got
to
number it.
Stop
maybe
this.
ABC?
Stop this.
It's letters.
I need you to stop.
It's
Before we get to Roxy's picks, I want to go to some more news here.
We did that. Oh, Schmigadoon's coming out. I love that.
Yeah, I know. I'm stoked.
All right, let's talk about Constantine 2, because nobody knows what the hell's going on with this movie. 6 months ago, it came word that Keanu Reeves and Francis Lawrence were going to team up to do a sequel to Constantine at Warner Brothers. Now, Reeves starred as the chain-smoking supernatural exorcist and demonologist John Constantine from the Hellblazer comics, who attempts to help a woman, Rachel Weisz, and get caught up in the battle between heaven and hell. Akiva Goldsman is returning to write the screenplay, whilst J.J. Abrams and Hannah Magella will produce. The last report on the film came back in late January, the day before James Gunn and Peter Safran announced their new DC slate of projects. At that time, Reeves indicated they had only gotten the go-ahead, and so the development of the project had just begun. Then, of course, came the DC Studios slate reveal, and everything changed. It's published under the DC imprint Vertigo. Now, out promoting John Wick Chapter 4, Reeves now said that the project's progress is in limbo right now as the field is being reevaluated by DC Studios, but tells Collider he's hopeful it will move forward. Reeves says DC World is reevaluating whether or not they want to do a Constantine with me in the movie, so fingers are crossed. Lawrence, meanwhile, has been busy with The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes prequel, and also has the BioShock film adaptation on his slate. He offers his own update to the outlet, telling him that there are difficulties with the Constantine sequel due to the rights issue. This is what Lawrence says. It's something we've been talking about since we made Constantine because we all loved it. So we've been talking about it. All the DC properties, because Vertigo is part of DC, that's sort of like the control of these properties and get complicated with Warner Brothers, DC, J.J. Abrams deal, all these types of things. There's a lot of things complicating it. So it was never Akiva and Keanu. I happened to be sort of convinced to do it. It was really trying to figure out how we can get some sort of control over the character again. And then the sequels are still moving ahead, apparently last month, but then with the Elseworlds, no date has been set, so it's a bit confusing.
So what's that last part? It's not. Where is he that? Said,
I've never. He said, so it was never Akiva and Keanu, and I happened to be sort of convinced to do it. What does that mean?
So it was never, maybe that they're not the ones that brought him in. Maybe it was Warner Brothers that had to convince him to do it. I don't know.
But he's saying he had to be convinced.
I guess so.
And the rights thing is weird, too, because Vertigo is a DC property owned mm-hmm. by Warner Brothers. So I'm confused. Maybe it's not about, maybe the terminology we're using is rights, but really he means, like, which characters you have access to based on who, like, what the plans for the DC are with the movies, mm-hmm. the comic books, and the shows. Because it shouldn't really be a rights issue. There's nobody else who has the rights Vertigo to Vertigo.
Stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole weird thing. But I don't think this movie sees the light of day.
I've been talking about this on Only Stupid Answers with DJ Woldridge nonstop because he has, from day one, has been saying we're never going to see this movie. Yeah. And I keep saying I think we're going to see this movie. And this is the first time I'm like, I don't know that we're going to see this movie.
Nah, James Gunn has too many things he's worried about right now, and I don't think this is one of them. And as much, now look, it's the same conversation we had the other day when I was talking about with like the Flash. I hate to tell people this, and I tell them that if the Flash makes $1.2 billion, there's going to be serious conversations about bringing Ezra back. It's going to happen. Now,
wait, where are you coming up with 1.2?
I'm just saying, if it made that kind of money, imagine it made $1.2 billion. I just crunched the numbers. But the same can be said about...
You flash to the future.
That's right. If you're Zasloff and you look and you go, hey, man, this John Wick movie just made a lot of money. People still love Keanu. Should we sure we don't want to do this Constantine movie? Yeah. That might happen also. So you don't know. Because John Wick's going to make... That movie's going to make a lot of money. A lot.
Yeah. It's weird that this was even ever... a thing though, mm-hmm. but it is. I would definitely want to see it. It doesn't really make sense fully with what they're doing. I wonder if the rights that he's really talking about is that they want a Constantine in their universe,
maybe,
and they don't want it to be Keanu.
And if that's the case,
this doesn't make sense for their
right.
their DC Keanu, because we know the movie that they announced that was Vertigo was Swamp Thing.
Oh, right.
And so we know that they are intending to have Swamp
playing
Thing,
inside of the DCU, right?
Is Elseworlds, but they
know. No, Swamp Thing's not.
Oh, no, sorry. They said that there is going to be a tie into right. that. That was their verbiage, right? Yeah. There's going to be a tie-in, which means that theoretically they're going to want a Constantine at some point, and that probably doesn't go with their Swamp Thing if it's Keanu. Well, maybe not, though.
But it's also one of these things if you're James Gunn. Because if you're James Gunn, you probably don't, I mean, as much as you love Keanu Reeves, you go, it's just not going to fit into what I'm doing. But it also has to be, there had to be a conversation with James Gunn and Zasloff where he's like, okay, look, I want to do this. I absolutely want to. But Peter and I have to be able to make our choices, even if it comes down to a studio thing where you guys think that this is the move. I can't work where it's like, okay, I had this whole plan. And then you guys are like, oh, well, we need this to happen because this is making money. So that might be in there. And they might allow because Gunn and Safran to do their thing because that's what I would ask for. It's like, okay, because if I have to run this thing, but every 5 seconds you guys are going, well, I need you to make this movie now. I need you. That's going to be problematic.
Do you think these conversations take place over like cigars and billiards?
I don't know. I don't know if Gunn's a big cigar and billiards.
Yeah. I honestly like sometimes it feels like in the bros
fat
club,
cat talk.
I'm wondering. Like, are Zasloff and Safran Gunn chilling? And Zasloff's like, all right, you do have creative control, but, like, you know, I love me some Keanu. He made mad money.
Yeah.
Like,
Can you find a way to put the Keanu in there?
Yeah, I just wonder if it's
the
like...
The Top Gun guy?
No, not the Top Gun guy. That's,
two words. Keanu.
You don't know who Keanu is?
Keanu?
Well, yeah. Keanu, yes.
Keanu Pass.
69, I don't really feel that. Dude.
Thank you, Ken. Anyway.
When I hear Reeves, I think Matt.
Are you thinking Matt Reeves now?
To me, Keanu's Keanu. He's not Reeves.
Right. Well, it's better than saying Christopher Reeves. Yeah. People say Christopher Reeves.
Reeve. Yeah, I've been known to do that several times.
Yeah. Okay.
Not good.
All right, well, let's move on here. We've got some TV talk here, Roxy. You got a bunch of stuff that we need to talk about?
Yeah,
and we can
I
actually
do.
Get into it. Let's
Even
do
though
it.
You took most it. Of it from
well,
me.
We can extensive.
Ooh, this one looks good.
That was a good one.
Oh, Brett, you really love this one?
Oh, man. I mean, as far as an image?
I figured that you were going to love Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yes.
So-
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay.
Okay.
I saw a preview.
Go ahead.
So this is a show for a very particular group of people, and I am one of them. It is a reality dating competition show on Fox called Farmer Wants a Wife. And I'm pretty sure today is the first episode.
Okay.
I think it drops today. And it's like The Bachelor, but with farmers. And there's four farmers that we focus on. And these women, all like five of them, go to the farms with each of these guys.
Are they farmers also, these women?
No. Oh, okay. Some of them grew up on farms. Some of them grew up in New York City. Some of them grew up in Los Angeles. Some of them grew up in Kentucky. Mm. Like, some of them know how to farm. Mm-hmm. And some of the farmers are looking for women who know how to farm. And some of them don't. And some of the farmers like that. It's very wholesome. It's like, the way that they speak to each other kind of feels fairy tale like. Mm-hmm. It's simple.
So they're not going trash TV with this one?
So far, no. I mean, I just really like that it's like, it seems, I usually, you guys know, I love a drink in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so, it's lover of love, shippers of ships, wholesome, dating, and you get the feeling that it's going to work.
All right. So what's next?
Okay, so if that show isn't for you, then don't worry. I will get to you because Kristen and I are loving a show called 1923, and it finished its first season. It had 8 episodes. It had a finale that I feel like didn't feel like finale, but still every single episode of this show was excellent, and I'm loving Taylor Sheridan's universe. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so good.
I love this show. I mean, the show is great.
What do you make of what's happening with the guy with the two women that he keeps making?
It's a power play. It's a power thing. Isn't that crazy?
Those scenes are wild. They're really wild.
My favorite thing that happens, though, where I laughed out loud, and maybe I shouldn't have, is something that happens on the boat that incites this big incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I laughed so loud.
Really?
It was hilarious. Wasn't it hilarious?
I don't know about hilarious.
It's hilarious. And it's like, I couldn't believe it because it's like, there's this moment that keeps happening and you're just like, okay, enough, enough, enough. And a particular person isn't, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
And they have to pay for not, yeah, not it, paying
enough. He's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
I love, though, the two of their love story.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, and I love that one line from the guy who's like, you might question Spencer? The random guy. You might question the legitimacy. You can't deny it, you know?
Yeah.
The actress is amazing.
She's great.
He's obviously just everything.
I think he is like, you start to take that guy and put him into movies, that's your next action star.
I think he could be definitely a Marvel or DC guy. Like, could really, really see him. I mean, he could be Aquaman. Like, you could definitely do a lot of different
stuff.
Even
not even necessarily superhero, just putting him in like kind of like a new, you know, Indiana Jones type.
For sure, too. For sure, that too.
I believe
he could have done a good Han Solo.
I don't know. I got to see the smugness. Maybe. I mean, maybe so. But I mean, I believe that he's Han Solo's nephew. I mean, I believe that he's Harrison Ford's nephew.
You know,
in the show, and it's Helen Mirren is doing next level stuff in this, and she's always amazing.
So good.
When she was like, "Hey, you like that? You haven't seen nothing yet."
Have you seen the movie?
No, you haven't seen
the show yet.
Yeah. But I love her, man.
That didn't sound like her.
Yeah, she was like, "Oh, right. You think that's good?
How about just wait." Just wait. Go ahead, Roxy.
She's excellent.
All right, so 1923. It's great.
Check it out. The most controversial of my picks, I am recommending that people watch Chris Rock, Selective Outrage. Mm-hmm. I am not saying it's perfect. It's not polished, but I think that it was interesting. I liked the stuff about the Kardashians. I thought it was really funny. I liked the poignant moments about his mom versus his daughter, mm-hmm. and what the mom, like, between going to the vet and then now where she is.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting. And then the stuff about the slap heard around the world, I was laughing my face off. And I know that some people didn't think this was funny. I did. Not all of it, but some of it.
Yeah.
Definitely it's going to be something talked about. So I would recommend Chris Rock's special. And then The Last of Us, I put this on here every week almost. This was the penultimate episode. If you have not started the show, which a lot of people haven't, I just think this is a perfect time to binge it because you're going to be able to finish it with the people. And it doesn't miss for me. It doesn't miss. On its one-off episodes, when we're focused on Ellie, when we're focused on Joel, when we're focused on characters that aren't even two of our main characters. And this week, I genuinely am just shocked with how brilliantly they are doing this show.
So this was a choice that I had made, and I'm glad I made it because I wasn't sure.
Playing the game?
Yeah, playing the game. But I played the game. What I was doing, you know this, I was playing the game.
And now you played ahead. I don't like this choice.
I played ahead, and I knew it was going to happen this time around because I wanted the perspective of the game players this time. And I'm glad that I did. No, I'm glad that I'm telling you because there was a lot of things I said. Because what I'm going to tell people now for Last of Us, if you didn't watch it, I'm going to go a little spoiler here. So this is your last year pick, right?
Not a spoiler for the future.
No. Spoiler for this episode. So if you haven't watched it, you might want to just tune out for this particular thing, because in the game, when you meet David, you trust him more than you do in the show, mm-hmm. because at one point when you're in that, they're in the shed, you know, talking after they bring the deer in there, a few of the infected come in and they have to fight him off. And it shows that he could have turned on her at any point. He doesn't. Right. So that's,
I actually did trust him at first.
Yeah. Some people did. And that's the question I asked,
not full trust, but was like,
but they show him in that scene, that opening scene where it plays very kind of David Koresh.
Yeah.
And they don't have that in the game, but then the creators apparently talked about in the podcast why they didn't use that choice. And that's fine. The only choice I wish they would have kept from the game that they didn't have in. I love the idea that, this happens in the game and in the show, Ellie's got to be the one that takes him out. Mm-hmm. Got to be. It's the whole point of the entire relationship and what she's able to find inside. But there's a back and forth that happens in the game as you're fighting David.
So intense.
And Joel is on his way to find her, and he's got to pick people off in order to get there. He's not the one that saves her, but he gets there, and he's got to go through some shit in order to do it. And in this, he just kind of just kind of walks there and gets there. And maybe it's just because of time-wise.
This was one of the times that you do have to suspend your disbelief that he is KO'd. He is out.
Well, in the game, it's the same.
Mm-hmm. And so that was fine, but I was like,
yeah, okay. He gets like penicillin and he's good to go. That happens in the game, it's one shot. At least in this, she gives him like seven shots.
I thought Bella Ramsey,
she's phenomenal.
She runs out and he's there and
she can't get the words out. She's so good. There's a scene that there's two things that she's done. I mean, she's done various things, but there's two things that really stand out that she hasn't had to say anything. She's just her acting. It's a gasp when a certain character takes themselves out, and she's there, and she gasps, and it's so real. That's one, her natural instincts. And then the other thing that she does in this episode is that moment when Joel sees her, and she realizes it's him, and she goes, and she just tries to speak, and she can't. She just hugs him.
Yeah.
It's so real. It's so genuine. It's so in the moment. You can't teach that.
Yeah, I agree. I love that they put Troy Baker in this, the original Joel in the game.
Yes, yes.
That was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He was a friend,
I love watching the after thing. It's so good to watch.
The little after thing.
Yeah, but when they talk about a little bit. This episode. It helps explain a lot of the stuff. And for the gamers, they explain, we know that in the game it's like this. Yeah. But,
in the podcast, they go even more in depth. I'm going to start listening to that.
I suggest The Walking Dead for people still. Yeah. I don't care. No. I'm just letting them know that Walking Dead hit cannibalism hard as well. So if you liked learning about eating people, maybe you should binge. Yeah, the show is excellent. I can't wait for the finale. Anybody who knows what happens in the game is very curious what's going to happen in this finale. Because they either do it or they don't.
Next one.
The last one that I want to recommend is Party Down, because it was a show that I never saw, and I just went and binged season one and two, and it was so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even believe that it's taken me this long, because I love shows like this, and I just kept missing it.
Adam Scott?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch Party Down?
No, I know you did. Brett loves it.
Amazing.
It's just so up your alley.
Yeah.
It's like a great comedy. It's so good. And then not only Adam Scott, I started writing down all the people I saw that I was like, what the fuck, that are in one episode. Mm-hmm. This shit is crazy. And I haven't binged the newest season yet because it's on Starz. Season 3 just dropped on Starz, and the other one is on Hulu, so I've got to figure out a way to access that. But listen to this, the people in one episode. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
What? Jennifer Coolidge, Kristen Bell, J.K. Simmons, George Takei, Christopher Plaza, Breckenmeyer, Josh Gad, Caitlin Dever as a kid. Like, there's just so many. These aren't the stars of the show. These are just people in an episode where I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is where they got. It's the first thing that Kevin Hart did was an episode of this show.
Wow.
What? I don't think the show gets enough credit for being like an OG comedy that was really.
How long ago was the first show?
It was a while ago.
15 years?
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's excellent. So I'm stoked to go into season three. And I'll keep you guys posted after I binge it. I'll let you guys
know. Are you going to watch it too?
Oh, yeah. I was so confused because I saw this whole thing where like they were launching and I thought they were just re-releasing it. And
2009 was the original.
Yeah. Wow. God. So, yeah. And
I was
then
in high school.
I was, yeah.
You were in high school.
I was too.
Yeah.
I was.
You were in high school.
2-year-old.
Finish.
Adam Scott, Ken Marino, Lizzie Kaplan, Megan Mullally, Jane Lynch.
Speaking of Lizzie Kaplan, you going to watch that Fatal Attraction show? You don't know.
No?
No. Yeah.
Are you?
I might. I like
Lizzie Kaplan.
And I like, what's his face?
Who's the guy?
Pacey. What's his name?
Pacey?
Oh, yeah, Pacey. From Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
I didn't watch.
It's driving me nuts because I never really Josh what's his face, and I like Josh what's his face. He was good in The Affair.
I'm gonna look
what's
it
his
up
name.
Right
it's driving
now.
Me crazy.
Joshua Jackson.
Pace. Yes, Joshua Jackson.
I always hated that name.
Pacey. Yeah, poor guy.
It's coming in April 30th.
What Fatal Attraction?
Yeah, it's gonna be on Paramount Plus. So I got
it.
That
Lizzie Kaplan. So maybe.
Yeah, but I heard that that's what kept her from doing Part Yam.
Oh.
Because I think she's the only one of the only ones who didn't come back.
And she's the original.
Yeah. And I recommend If Fleischman Is in Trouble to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither of you watched it, though.
I watched the first episode.
Okay. I didn't like the ending of it. No. So.
Well, there you go. Those are Roxy's picks, everybody. So make sure you check them out. Yeah, let her know in the comment section. And for you guys, make sure that you're letting us know whether you're any of the stories you want to chime in. All that stuff, any suggestions? Roxy takes your suggestions
all
and she'll
the
check
time.
Out TV. So.
What am I missing? Let me know.
And that's really it. And what do you guys think about the Star Wars news? Do you think that it's a bad thing that they got rid of Feige, which we didn't really even go into depth with? I think that Feige's going to wind up running Lucasfilm eventually. I do. And I think maybe this is kind of like a finish up Marvel and then take care of Lucasfilm when it's time to. And I think that other Scream, excited for that. Mandalorian, anything that we talked about here today, make sure that you check us out. And if you haven't done that on Spotify, check us out on Spotify because we've been getting a lot of great comments on Spotify. A lot of people have been checking us out now because they have video over there. Roxy, what are you up to? What are you doing today? Where can I find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
That's it. Brett, where are you?
I'm here cleaning the carpets.
Perfect. I knew that was coming. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. And once again, if you haven't already done it, make sure that you show just a little bit of class.
Ooh.
Subscribe as we have now hit
69, dude.
That's only going to last for another 1,000. But if you want it to go away, then you need to hit that button. Thanks for joining us. Once again, get yourself a shirt. Whatever you want to go, you can go to show some class, Capes and Cowls, Sith Council, big thing, that and more. Make sure you do it. Check it out. All right, for myself, Roxy, and Brett, big thing. See you on the flip side. All right, great. Peace.